bitches. What the fuck is up?
Well, I think we're going to find out any second now.
Oh, hell yeah, we are, because we're hot.
Now let's listen to the theme song.
It's so good. Chrissy and Craig. 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 Baby, baby. Chrissy and Craig. Chrissy and Craig. Yeah, yeah. Hey. Chrissy and Craig. 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 Chrissy and Craig.
This is professional taping. I have an alarm going off. we try to impress people when they sign on. They're like, whoa, this is a smooth operation.
I'm just impressed by your pillows.
Oh, why, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I know you're a fellow fan of 70s.
I am. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. I just had a really chaotic 5 minutes.
Yeah. Can everyone hear everyone okay?
I can hear Chrissy as well.
Is this better?
Perfect. So let's get into your chaotic 5 minutes. I had a little preview.
That was so embarrassing. I texted you. I was like, oh my God, someone stole my purse. Like, I can't find my AirPods. And then I found my AirPods, but not my purse. And then as I was setting up, I saw my purse right next to my laptop.
Well, the purse was saved.
The purse was saved. That's what's important.
Right? Exactly. And then I kind of felt bad because I know that spiral. And then you said, oh my God, that's so chaotic. I'm sorry. And I was like, babe, if I don't understand it, who would?
Who would?
How was your weekend, Jade? Because I want to get into that. Like, we'll tell my story later, but let's talk about your weekend because we had chaotic weekends. We had stressful, sleepless weekends. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if that was the same for you.
My weekend was amazing. I live in South Carolina, so it's always warm during this time, but it's also always rainy. So, you know, I had the pleasure of being able to experience the heat and, you know, all of the humid.
Oh, yeah. The special humidity. Chrissy, it's really humid in Chicago, right?
Yeah, the weather here is absolutely nuts. Like the other day was like 80 degrees. So, you know, me and all my friends are at the beach. And then yesterday it was like 40 and raining. So
keeps you guessing then.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
South Carolina is that same way. It really is. Mm-hmm. I just can't wait to leave this hellhole.
Where would you want to go?
Mars, quite honestly. Every time I think about a place where I could go where I would feel, you know, completely safe and accepted, I'm just like, okay, well, I could go here. And then I look up something and it's like, okay, maybe not so much. So I guess the best answer would either be Mars or Venus.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Venus is a good option. I like Venus.
Venus sounds a little bit better to me because it doesn't seem like it's as hot on Venus.
Right. Yeah. I know Mars is extremely hot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I can't take the heat.
No. Well, you know, and you're on the East Coast or Easy Coast, as I dubbed it earlier, due to a typo, which I like. I'm from the East Coast or Easy Coast as well. And the Easy Coast humidity is a nightmare. But
yes, it is.
What other parts of the U.S. would you be considering? Say Mars and Venus were out for like a little while just due to travel.
Yes. I have to be so honest with you. I have hardly left South Carolina. I mean, to be quite honest, I'm wearing my aunt's headphones from 1997. So I really am a country bumpkin. I really don't know where I would move. I went to D.C. my freshman year of college, which was last year. I hate to make it sound so long ago because people think I'm 35, but I'm 19.
Well, that's also partly because you're so wise and you impart a lot of that wisdom to people. Yeah.
Yes, and I might have crow's feet too. I don't know. But I went to D.C. and I was just like, okay, you know, this is okay. It was cool. But, you know, there was no please and no thank you. And I'm so used to that in South Carolina where, you know, you get please and thank you, but you're also going to get transphobia. So you have to pick your poison, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a weird gift basket. You're like, well, that stuff's good. I don't take that jam and that other stuff. Yeah, I don't want
that.
The South is exceedingly polite in certain ways. It reminds me of Canada. And I remember being kind of shocked by both because Boston and its surrounding areas are not that great for, you know, pleasantries. Whereas Los Angeles, where I live now, is great. But I mean, listen, I didn't go anywhere except to Canada, where my folks are from, till I was like, I don't know how old. So, you know, there's lots of travel in your future, I'm sure.
Yes, I do hope so, because if the only thing I know is Hartsville, South Carolina, and Columbia, South Carolina, it's pretty sad.
Well, but you said, you know, you're not 35. You are pretty young. How old are you?
I am 19. So I do, like you said, I have so many years to go where I'll be able to travel and, you know, we'll never know where life will take me.
That is so exciting. It's so fun, like, kind of starting your, like, career, because I just followed you on TikTok today and everything, and I was like...
Thank you so much.
It's just so fun, like, starting it so young and then finding, like, all these, like, random, like, new things that are happening. Like, we have the ability to, like, travel and do super fun things and also just be in, like, a pretty accepting community outside of the community we might have, like, grown up in, which I think is just so... It's the cool part of social media. Now, there's also the very scary and, like, terrifying parts of social media. But I will say sometimes it is nice to have little safe spaces in, like, different parts of the world just because of TikTok or Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is.
That is very true. I do feel that TikTok has given me an outlet. Right before I joined TikTok, I was deciding whether or not I was going to drop out of college because, first of all, I hated it. The only reason I went to college is because one of my best friends at the time really, really wanted to go. So I went, and I've been a theater person since I was like 14. So I majored in theater, which was great.
Just like Chrissy.
And yeah, you know, all of the shows were coming up and I was just so excited because finally I was like, well, you know what? This first semester is going horrible in my second year because there's no shows happening. And boom, the pandemic just, I don't know, it shut everything down. So...
Yeah,
that was it for me.
I get that. I majored in theater also and then like dropped out just because I think I was just not prepared for that like world of like musical theater like in college. It's really it's intense and like it emotionally bearing.
Yes. Well, and TikTok became my stage. The only reason I went to college was for the stage. Like I'm very good with taking criticism from people. So theater was easy for me in that sense. It was hard for me because you never know whether or not you're good, because when you're good, they don't really tell you. But when you're bad, that's when they're very vocal. But when you're good, they're very, you know, you did well. You know, they're never like, oh, this is great. But when you do horrible, it's like, you effing suck. You're never going to amount to anything. So
that is so, I found it so funny because that was so like my experience as well. I like was only there for a semester and yeah, when you're good or maybe I wasn't good and I was pretending I was, but like they really don't say anything to you or encourage you and they really just shut you down if you make a mistake or you fuck up in their eyes or it's not how they want it to be. And like, they don't really want to hear what your perception of it is. And I remember like, I walked into the office of like the head of the department and I was like, I'm leaving. And he was like, oh, but like, we love you. We think you're great.
Right. Well, that's when they want to tell you how much they love you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, I cried so many times in front of you, Matt, like you asshole.
Right. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Manipulative low-key.
It is very manipulative. I guess they are trying to prepare us for the cutthroat industry, which is show business. But you know, I don't know, like my true passion has always been singing. In fact, I make music, so you can check me out on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm say it.
Yes. Love it.
Yeah,
my artist name is Jadelle. That's J-A-D apostrophe E-double-L-E. It's kind of like Adele, but with a J in front of it, I guess.
And of course, there's all these links that are in the episode description.
Exactly. They'll all be there.
Oh, well, I'm so excited. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for joining us.
Of course. But, you know, so I don't know, like with theater, it was hard for me. It was a depressing thing whenever me and my friend stopped talking because she was like the only friend I had in the beginning of my transition. And, you know, when you are an outcast, especially here in the South where like it is completely taboo to be a trans person. And then adding being a Black person on top of that, where a lot of Black people are just now understanding and accepting, you know, gay people. So to be trans, it's like completely out of this world. It's like, who are you? You are the devil's spawn. So to have that friend really accept me, it was a hard thing letting her go. So I am very thankful for TikTok, I must say, because it has got me going. It has got me going.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing too, especially as being someone as old as I am, to have seen that come about, because the change in the world from 20 years ago is monumental. I mean, even if you just look at music or anything, any kind of performing arts, podcasts, you know what I mean? The means of production are in the hands of the creators. So is distribution. And you can be yourself online and you can put forth your messages.
It's interesting just the way, like, the internet, I think just the internet period is just a very interesting concept, just of the acceptance you get and the validation you get. But then there's still those people who, I think people might, I don't know, at least in my life, are a little more bolder and with what they say on the internet than what I've heard necessarily to my face.
Right.
Which has been very, because one thing, it is one thing to be like, look at it and be like, okay, like whatever, you're projecting, like there's something going on with you. And like when I get those hate comments or stuff like that, and it's obviously like not, you know, sometimes we all have stuff we have to work on, especially like being public figures and like, you know, so I'd say like, I take, like you were saying, like I take criticism very well, but sometimes it's like, oh my God, why would you ever think to say that to somebody? Like,
right.
It's just a whole nother level of like, would you say that to me if you were face to face with me? Like, does your mother know you're saying this?
Right, right. And 9 times out of 10, they definitely would not. I do have, I guess I really have a harder time with knowing that, just like those people who say the horrible things, 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't say that to our face. A lot of the support that I get is like, I don't know, it's so overwhelming and I'm so happy to have it, but I have this thing with unconditional love. And I know, because these people don't know me at all, it's like, you know, a year will go by and, you know, whether or not I'm still performing in the ways people want me to, that support completely, you know, go out of the window. But I still would know there's people in my area who are as hateful as the people on the internet. And that scares me, because it's like, you know, you just never know. You never know if your support will continue, if the people who are following you will grow with you. Because honestly, I've talked about my experiences as a trans person so far. Honey, love, I haven't left the house in so long. Those experiences are going to run out because most of those experiences come from high school and college, where you are forced to be around people. But now I work from home. So it's like, your girl is about to be very, very boring soon. And I'm not one of the internet people who are going to make up stories. I talk about them as they come. So, yeah.
And you can tell that, though. I mean, that's very clear.
Yeah. There's an authenticity to you, which is just like very rare, I think, in the internet world, too. Just with a lot of the people you meet, it's like, what's authentic and what's not? Because I so understand that, like, unconditional love and just like wanting to see the best in everybody and all your supporters and everyone you meet. But it is like, are you authentic about what you're saying? Like, just that kind of mind fuck in a way.
And the authenticity is, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine, go ahead.
Okay, so the authenticity is something also that people instantly recognize, whether they know it or not. You know, it's almost like the sound being bad in a movie or something. You know, but you don't maybe logically know. And so that really resonates with people. And I was curious about the unconditional love thing, because to pull back to your TikTok about that, and you said something really powerful about how queer people often have a real struggle with unconditional love. And I was wondering if you would elaborate on that.
Well, honestly, like I say, I always speak from my own experiences. I knew since I was able to articulate what it meant to be different from others, I knew I was different from others. And I was taught at a very young age the things that made me different, things that I would show signs of, I guess, my mannerisms. I was taught at a very young age that these are things that are undesirable. These are things that are not going to happen around here. And these are things that if you continue to do it, you will continue to be punished. You know, I was really berated by my family. Now, I love my family and they're very supportive. I want to make that clear. However, they didn't know how to deal with it in the beginning. I grew up being like the grandchild of this only female pastor in South Carolina. That, you know, that's, it's an exaggeration, but honestly, there are a few women in South Carolina who have like licensing because, you know, misogyny is also in the Christian field. Like they don't want women preaching. They don't want women preaching at all. So, you know, we had to really put up an image of perfection because if we didn't, it was going to fall back on my grandmother, my Mimi. So I knew that, you know, being my true self was something that was going to, it was going to put the love that I've known in jeopardy. And it made me realize at 16, when I did come out as trans, when people started turning their backs on me or wouldn't talk to me or wouldn't look me in the face, which is the most painful thing, that I was not unconditionally loved this whole time. And if your family is supposed to teach you what love is, then I just didn't know what it was at that point.
Right.
So I know that, I know what it feels like to be thrown out into the world and feel like you don't know what love is. So you're searching for it, especially Black trans women, where everybody is telling you, we desire you, but we don't really desire you. Like, you know, we want you around for 5 minutes of either fun or pleasure or novelty, but we honestly don't want you around for long, you know, lifelong relationships. So I realized looking around and talking to other LGBT friends that it was a similar story. And it's sad. So I wanted to talk about it. That's the best way I can explain it, is when you're thrown into the world and you don't know what love is, you're going to continue to look for it. Because honestly, there's one thing that, you know, people will disagree, simply because I'm saying nobody will disagree. But I feel that we all can agree on the fact that everybody is just searching for a place where they fit in and where they feel loved.
Absolutely. And a lot of times people get into problems because if you don't know what the gold standard should be, you go for sometimes really inappropriate or damaging relationships because they seem like this might be the thing that I'm looking for. Or, you know, you're getting the appearance. That's why like love bombing works on people, you know, because it's like, so, oh my God, thankfully, finally. And then you're into a bad problem. So there's a lot of pitfalls also that, you know, come along with that.
Exactly.
Right. And I also think like going off of that with relationships, you sometimes find people who obviously love bomb you and love like certain parts of you, and that might not be all of them, but you see that this person likes those certain parts, and so you settle for them, although it's not the full picture that they truly love or want even. And so sometimes, at least with myself, I saw myself getting in so many horrible relationships left and right, just because I was like, oh, but you accept this part of me that like maybe someone didn't accept before. But obviously, like, you don't want the full picture. You don't want all of me. You don't. It's just so interesting how that works. And especially with the manipulation that goes into that, like, oh, I'm going to tell you I love all this about you. I'm going to say X, Y, and Z to really make you feel so vulnerable around me. And then I'm going to take all that away and you're going to feel so confused and you're still going to stay with me because you're so confused and you're searching for that. Like, you're still looking for those like bits of love bombing, and they'll give it to you and they'll take it away. It's just so interesting how that works.
Yes, it is very interesting. It disgusts me every time.
Yes.
I can't believe that, you know, and I know that people think I'm very mature. That's because I am aware of myself. I'm aware of what makes me feel certain things. But because I'm young, I still do fall into those holes sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just because, like, you know, I just want somebody to love me. Like, I'm looking at everybody else, you know, but I know that, you know, everything good comes with time. I'm 19. I'm not like 30 or anything. And even if I were 30, I'm not going to rush to be in anything just because I don't want to be alone anymore.
Good. Right. That's a good move. And you can fall into that trap anytime. Not you specifically, of course. I mean, the universal you. I mean, I've done that. You know, we all make mistakes. And the other thing is that emotions don't know from logic, and it can be difficult, you know. You can be lonely, and that can choose things for you sometimes if you let it.
Yes.
Yeah. I think finding someone with similar intentions is a lot harder than it seems. And I think that's something I really had to learn. Just like you were saying like you really feel like very mature for your age, and that's something I really grew into too, just like being so having to be like kind of forced to be, just like because of my childhood and the way I grew up, just having to be mature for my age. And still like, but you're still a kid, you still have that inner child that just like longs so much to be loved. If you didn't get love, and for me at least, like I didn't get love in a certain place in my childhood, in my life, and so I long for that so hard. And that's like younger Chrissy looking for it. So I find myself in all these relationships or friendships or with these people who just do not value me or want me to be there, honestly. And it's really just like, I'm going to use you for what I want, and then we're done, baby. And that's damaging, because it is like, for me, it is my younger self that's like, but I want this, I want to feel this. And then it goes away and it's like, oh, I'm feeling everything I've ever felt again. Like, I hate this.
That's what I was trying to avoid. Yeah.
I describe that as simply feeling disposable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's extremely damaging to feel disposable, because when you have people continuously doing that to you, you're going to start putting that on yourself. Like, okay, I know in this relationship, I'm here to serve a purpose. And then once that purpose is served, they're going to dispose of me, and the cycle continues. And it's like, we have to know, or I had to realize, part of the problem is the fact that I knew going into these relationships that these people wanted me around for a specific reason. However, there are some people who know exactly how to trick you into believing that they want you around for a long time. You know what I mean? And those are the people that you have to really look out for. But honestly, it's easy for me now to be able to detect a fraudulent person.
Yeah.
A person who wants to dispose of me. Yeah. I know that.
It can be difficult, though, to trust your detection system sometimes. I think that might be the final hurdle of that whole process.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. I don't always trust it. Luckily, though, the perks of having a very Southern mom, they really do. Well, maybe all moms. My mom really does believe she knows. She believes she knows. She'll meet somebody and she'll be like, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I know that this isn't going to last, because she's like literally almost always right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Moms do know. I remember taking someone to a family holiday thing, and my mom sobbing, crying when I was leaving. And it wasn't because she hadn't seen me in a long time. She was like, no, not this. And, you know, she was right. She was more than right.
I'm telling you, it's something in there. I don't know what it is. I don't know what moms are drinking.
Some sixth sense shit.
Like, what the hell? Yeah.
Well, once again, that's down to intuition, right? I mean, the old phrase, mother's intuition, but at the core of it, it's intuition. And a lot of times we, again, don't trust our detection systems, which is our intuition. And part of that is because, like you said, when you start to take on this notion that you are disposable, you start to erode your own sense of worth. And then you think, well, maybe I don't, my opinion doesn't count for much, even though it's about my life.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Oh my goodness. Yes. That's why it took me 16 years. Because I really did think everybody else's opinion mattered. I really did. I thought that I was just like, you know, and I don't know, maybe, you know, others will feel the same way. I felt like I was a place keeper, you know, like I just stayed in my place and, you know, did me behind closed doors. But, you know, honestly, it just goes back to the whole conditional thing. Like, when you aren't what people want it for you to be, like, a lot of people pre-plan your lives. Like, I don't know why that is. People can barely know you and pre-plan your life. Like, they want you to do this, they want you to do that, they see you for this and they see you for that. And when you step out of that, people are no longer your friend or your fan. Uh-huh. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt that one. Yes.
It's true. They're no longer your friend or your fan.
Yeah, the minute, and it's like, I always find it interesting when, you know, obviously we are going to be so many different versions of ourselves as we grow, as we develop, as we learn. And when you're with like a friend that you've had for a long time, or a partner you've had, and you're changing as a human does, and they're like, I think the like the words like you've changed are just so fucking stupid. Like, yes, Of course I changed. I got that recently from a family member. Like, you changed. And I was like, uh-huh. I was like 16, like 4 years ago. I did change, baby. Like, what? And I'm sorry you haven't. But that's on you, honey. Like, that is not, that's a reflection of yourself that you're putting on me. And mm-hmm. I cannot take that to heart. As much as sometimes it's so hard to condition yourself to not take things to heart, because you still sometimes think about it and you're still like, oh, but you can't, because a lot of what people say, I'm just learning now, I think a lot of what people say to you when it's like that is just some reflection of themselves that they don't feel very highly about themselves about. And it's like, hey, I would love to help you with this, but if you're going to put that on me and treat me like that, that is on you, baby. Like, I am not going to help you out.
Right. Honestly, a lot of people don't want you to change because your old self tolerated a lot from them.
That's exactly it. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's it. And they get really upset when they sense that they're not going to be able to play their games on you anymore.
Right. Yes. Exactly. I am not a game of Monopoly. I just won't be played anymore.
I want that tattooed on me, like, right here. So the world knows it.
And this is my get out of jail free card, and I'm going to go collect all the stuff in the bank.
Right. Yes. Like I tell people all the time on TikTok, give me my check. Yes. Because that's our checks.
Yeah.
I especially loved the hairstyle check video that I saw, which
thank you, you're
welcome. So to explain for folks who haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure you have, you were talking about Black women being told what kind of hairstyles they could have.
Yes. So, okay, anybody who knows TikTok knows that there is this person who went completely viral off of her luscious, beautiful 1970s curls. Like, I mean, just amazing mm-hmm. hair. So it started trending and I'm like, okay, this is great, because I've been wearing 1960s hair since like the 11th grade and people have been telling me I look like a granny. So at least now, you know, it's like, okay, it's trending. I'm like, okay, I'll look young and youthful again. People won't think I look like my name is Diane. No offense to Diane.
We love you, Diane. We just want to tell you.
Shout out to you, Diane.
But Black girls started doing it, and it was great. I was happy to see, you know, other Black girls interested in things that I was interested in. But then there were the trolls. This isn't made for your hair. Black girls shouldn't do this hairstyle. And I had to remind people that the reason why those big flips and stuff became so popular in the 70s, at least for Black people, is because Black women were being pressured in the workplace to have a perm. And when you have a relaxer, especially back then, how damaging they used to be, because people were not so, I guess, today we're interested in keeping the hair healthy as Black women, but that back then we were just going for the look, okay? So the chemicals were killing the ends of our hair. We had to bump them out or bump them in. So it was something that was very popular in the Black community. It was like, you know, I have pictures of my grandma everywhere with the flips. You know, it's not, I didn't understand why people, I know it stems from, and I know I'm rambling, but it stems from
that's what we want. That's what we love.
We love it. No.
Yeah, are you kidding? If you're not rambling, we're going to ramble. So you might as well, because you're our guest.
Yeah, you need to ramble, not us.
I believe it stems from the fact that, as a community, while there are some exceptions, as a community, we just really don't appreciate seeing certain people wear braids, especially braids that have a tribal meaning or have a background, because a lot of people don't understand how important braids are for the Black community, being that when we were enslaved people, I know it took a dark turn, I'm sorry, but when we were enslaved people, we did used to braid flour and rice into our hair so we would have something to take home to our families when we were done working, or we would braid different pathways to show our fellow Black people how the hell we was going to get out the hellhole. So braids are very, you know, important to us, but we cannot compare that to you curling your hair at the ends upward. I'm just saying.
Right, slightly
so
different.
So I had to make a video. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you pointed out a lot of your favorite 70s and 60s performers as well. And let's get into some of those. Donna Summer, who we talked about briefly at the beginning. I was listening to Donna Summer to get the vibe correct for our chat. I'm a huge Donna Summer fan. And as
me too.
Right, well, and everyone can see that lovely picture of the On the Radio cover behind you in most of your videos. So do you have a favorite Donna Summer era?
My favorite Donna Summer era is the MacArthur Park era. I mean, I feel like, why not? Donna is just a songbird. I don't think people understand how talented Donna is. I honestly feel she's not given enough credit. We do talk a lot about, you know, people back then, like, you know, they talk about ABBA and, you know, they even talk about Stevie Nicks, of course. But I feel like a lot of our Black songbirds from the 70s who kept the glove, you know, the clubs bumping, nobody talks about them. And I love Donna so much. Like, that is really my girl. I really love her. So probably MacArthur Park. After that, the On the Radio era.
Sure.
I just love all the beat, beat, toot, toots.
Yeah, no, it's great. Do you like that? Do you know the movie Foxes? You ever seen that?
No.
Okay, I'll send it to you. So it's Jodie Foster, Cherie Curry from The Runaways, and it's 78, 79. It's a really good film about young women in L.A. And Chrissy, you'd like it too. It's a weirdly like a really frank movie about like what it's like to be like 17, 18 and a woman in L.A. And the theme song was on the radio. It was written for the movie. Moroder did the whole score. And yeah, I didn't know until I saw the movie. I was like, that was written for this? Okay.
Me either. I did not know that. You have enlightened me today.
Oh, well, that's lovely. I'm glad. I was about to say, oh, I'm rambling. So, Donna's one of your favorites. Who are some of your other favorites?
Well, my absolute favorite, honestly, I can't just fit her into the box of the 70s because she literally had a hit every single decade that she released music. And that is Aretha Franklin, who held a very long Billboard record until it was broken by another one of my queens, Nicki Minaj.
Yes,
Aretha Franklin literally held a top 10 Billboard each decade she put out a song. So that's my favorite. I love Aretha. She can do every single genre. I literally have listened to Aretha my whole life, and she has trained me as a performer and as a singer. But I also love Nina Simone. I love Nina. I love her 1970s era. Like, everything about it is great. A lot of people overlook her catalog as well, past the 60s. So I love Nina. Those are like two of my other favorites. But I mean, I could go in like Patti LaBelle when she was in LaBelle in the 70s. My complete favorite. I am an ABBA fan. I am a deep ABBA fan.
Oh, same here.
Yes.
Well, Chrissy and I were talking about them the other day. Yeah.
I love Fleetwood Mac, and I love Anne Murray. You know, just all of the people. Tina Marie.
Anne Murray. You got that little Canadian content in here. I love that.
Yes. Anne Murray. I have an Anne Murray record for my vinyl player because something about that voice when you're washing the dishes just makes you want to shine the forks, honestly. Really?
I love that. Yeah. And then when did you start singing?
That was so cute. Sorry.
Well, my mother sings. She used to sing at church. My Mimi used to be in like literally all of the quartet groups. And my grandfather, my biological grandfather's side of the family, they used to record music in South Carolina. So it kind of runs in our veins. But I don't know. I just love music. I really started performing when I was 8. I'll never forget my first performance. I was scared as F. I was like literally scared. But I sang A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. And I will never forget that because I had to sing it literally 500 times after that. I mean, people were asking me to sing it all the time, but I've been singing since then. It is my true passion. I love music. I can hear the music in my head. I wish I was talented enough to know how to play instruments, but.
Well, I think you're talented enough. It's just that you haven't actually done it yet.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
100%.
You.
100%.
Yeah. I get that. I totally get, because my like passion is singing too, and just I want to be able to play all the instruments with myself. But it is, you know what? We are talented enough to do it.
Yes.
I just got to find the motivation for it. That's where my problem is.
Well, you know what's helpful? Because like I started playing drums when I was 12 or 13, and then when I was approaching 17, 18, I was in a bunch of bands, and I was always like, God, these songs are terrible. But like, I got to do something about it. I can't just be like, these songs suck, you know what I mean? And like, just be playing drums and cranky. So I taught myself how to play guitar, bass, and keyboards, you know, not that great at first, but just like enough to write things and all that. And now with the technology, you can just fuck around with even, you can use your keyboard on your laptop, you know, on Logic and just mess around and write stuff and everything. So I think the best thing to do, because I've, you know, done this both ways, the best way to sort of learn an instrument is just fuck around with it and don't put any pressure on yourself. Pick a couple songs you want to maybe learn. You know what I mean? And like play along, because it's about having fun. When you put this pressure on it, like I have to do this, or shit, I should have done this by now because I'm this age, that stuff weighs you down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my personality is just so that way, though. It's just going to always be like, you have to get this right. You have to get this right. However, I am free spirited. So when I put out my first album, I played the keyboard myself. And there are like a lot of mess ups. There's a lot of mess ups, but I still put it out there because, you know, I am hard on myself, but not to the point where I won't take a chance. So I think that should help me. Yeah.
I love that.
Me too.
My like perfectionist brain has to be okay with that, I think. I think sometimes I get into like, I have to be perfect. Like I have X amount of people watching me, or like I, for myself too, just like I need to be this perfect person. Although it's stopping me from doing the things I want to do and like what I love. And like, especially with music, like it is for me just like that perfectionist mindset. Although it's like, that's not fun. Like music is fun. Right. Music is joyous. Music is beautiful. It's subjective to whatever you want it to be.
Right.
So I think I have a lot of me and myself, like a lot of people too. I feel like we just have to take a chance. I love that. I'm literally writing that in my journal after this.
Fantastic.
Yes, friend. Yeah. Take a chance. I mean, you won't regret it. I mean, you might. No, I'm just kidding.
It's what it is. Regret it enough to learn from it, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Turn exactly. it into something.
Yeah. I overcame a hurdle personally where I, the theme for my other show, I was struggling with it like mid-pandemic. Great time to be like, oh, I'm going to do a new theme. And I was trying all these different versions of it. And I just grabbed one and I went, this is the one I'm putting out right now. I don't like it compared to the one I, the new version. But I was like, that's it. Sorry, due date. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to put one out. And then I just was like, well, okay, I'm going to redo it. And I redid the new version in 45 minutes because I just diffused it. You know what I mean? I went, right. it doesn't matter. There's one out there anyway. So what does it matter? Not that it wasn't easy to get to that point, but you know, you do.
Yeah,
it definitely does take a long time to get to that point. It's like, oh my goodness, especially in theater where deadlines are so important. Mm-hmm. I always literally, I know people are tired of it, but I always write about the experiences of Black people, usually Black trans women, because I just feel like what theater shows do that? So yeah. I always want to tell it perfectly, but you know, especially when you're in a college setting, there are always deadlines, like deadline. And you have to meet them. You have to meet them. Sometimes you have to tell that story differently the next time.
Right. Yes. There's a great old line about Saturday Night Live. There were some interviewers asking them about how they get everything ready and so perfect and everything. They were like, oh, no. The sketches might not be ready, but it's 11:30. So we got to go on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And have fun with it.
Yeah. And also, when you said telling the story perfectly, in what way would you consider something imperfect in that it reflects only one story, your story, or do you mean the actual construction of the piece?
I feel that there is, I don't know, I think that there is a thin line between really having somebody watch the experiences of my people and it just being like, I don't want it to ever come across that we are victims. You know what I mean? I don't fancy myself a victim. Most of us do not. You know what I mean? But the stories need to be told in a way where you're able to understand why these experiences are traumatizing without us saying like, you know, we're victims. I mean, in a way we are, but you know, I never want my pieces to come off that way. I just want it to be not even a learning experience for people who are watching who are not Black and trans, but something that we can relate to as Black trans people. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Where it's not so sad, but we still understand that these are the experiences that we have. These are something we can relate on.
Right. You want to entertain while delivering a message. Sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing like 100%. That makes sense. I mean, we don't always want to, and I guess whatever sense it is, like, look at you, have people see you as a victim, because then I feel as if sometimes we're seeing differently in that way, just a little like, oh, you, instead of seeing like, no, look at how great these things I've built are, without seeing that, like understand me, learn what I'm saying, and like educate yourself on it, and then like see what I'm doing and where I am and what I've built and like what we've built, you know?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And it always, I think it always comes out best when it is from someone who has had those experiences. Pose yes. became so much more relatable when they brought Black trans women into the writing room. So,
yeah.
And I love Pose for that reason when they brought those writers in.
Right.
A show's obligation is to do that. Whoever they're talking about, they have to know the subject matter material and involve the people that they're talking about, or else it's like an assumption, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I think I have an idea of maybe what this is like.
And you don't, you should never speak, oh, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. You just should never speak for like another person, like on their experience, whatever it may be. Like, you don't know that experience. You don't own that experience. Like, whatever it is, like, you may see it through media or through something else, but can you like speak for them for that? No. And I think a lot of people need to realize that just like listening and like giving that, if I feel like some people have that like kind of power complex of like, I need to be in charge of this, like I need to say what it is about it, instead of just like sitting back, listening, giving that to somebody else, being like, but you understand this shouldn't be coming from me, you know?
Wait, do you say hi, girls, gays, and bays?
I did, and then I changed it.
Ah!
But
yeah. Ew. Why am I just now noticing this?
Oh, this is great. What a lovely moment.
So
oh, my goodness. Well, what did you change it to?
Well, I just stopped saying it because I didn't realize like this was a moment where I had to educate myself completely. Like that phrase, I thought I was being inclusive and being like, you know, like kind of, obviously I didn't want, like it was more a message for like anyone who isn't necessarily a cisgendered straight white man. And I got feedback about it. Just like people weren't always comfortable being called like a they, you know, because like that is not making them feel as if they're a person. It's like kind of almost like as a thing, you know? And I didn't understand, like, I mean, obviously I made myself understand that, but like while saying it, I didn't understand like how kind of invalidating that is to them just to be called like a they rather than like a person, a beautiful human being that they are. And that was like a moment where I was like, oh, I really need to like change that. Like, I want my page to be accepting and I want to be someone who can learn and, you know, be a better version of myself tomorrow than I was today. And so like I started saying like girls, gays, and non-binary babes, and now I'm just like, everybody listen to me, because I do want it just to be everybody.
I wanted to tell you, I am so proud of you, because it really does take a really responsible person to listen to their followers and understand mm-hmm. where they went wrong and change it. Because honestly, you know, there are people who would be like, well, you know what is catchy?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say it, but I'm very happy that you did learn from what offended people. Like mm-hmm. that's what it's all about. Yeah. If we were all that way, the world would be just much better.
Exactly. And like I recognize like the privilege I hold with my platform. Like, you know, TikTok obviously is so subjective as to who goes viral, who's on the For You page, who gets the followers. And it does come down to like your skin color, so unfortunately. And like, if like you are cisgendered, et cetera, like at the moment I'm kind of playing with the like she, they pronouns and trying to like understand myself in that way. But like, I recognize that I have such a privilege to have the platform that I have. And I just like, I don't want to be that influencer that is like, oh, but it's catchy, so whatever. Like some people like it, but like,
it's okay. 'Cause it's me.
Yeah. And the people that like it are probably like, you know, people who don't go by they, them pronouns, you know? And
right. Like, exactly.
There's just so much importance, like having a platform and especially just like being someone of privilege. And I just want to be able to listen, because I'm going to, as anyone does in a general sense, like we're all going to fuck up. But like my goal always is to be a comfortable space for people. 'Cause like, I think about it, like I my platform is comfortable for me because like I didn't always have a very comfortable space like growing up in my household or in my world. And I just want that to be a little piece that someone can go to and be like, I feel safe here. So if I'm not making people feel safe, like that's on me and I have to fix that like right now. And that's what I did. Like I wasn't making people feel safe and accepted. And like that was completely on me. No one else but me. And I just want to change it.
Well, that is so good. Well, I mean, I didn't even know that that happened. So me saying that probably was like, ooh, nerves.
I'm nervous. Like, oh, what no. she gonna say? I was like, she's going to be. But the thing is like, if you were like, that's not cool, I would have been like, you're right. Like, it wasn't cool. Like, that's the thing. Like, you have to, there's a thick skin you have to have in this industry. And I'm sure you know that as well, that like we as like people just on the internet have to have, but like,
oh yes, they be calling me out all the time, Chia. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, okay, well, you know what, you're right, you just have to sit down, soak it in. But you know me, because I'm a people pleaser, there are certain things that I do have to sit down and be like, okay, maybe mm-hmm. not. Then I call friends and I'm like, what do you think? What do you think? Then I ask other followers, I'm like, what do you think? What do you think? Because some people I think have picked up on the fact that I am a people pleaser. They realize that, you know, there are certain things that they can say that will have influence over me, you know, quickly. And I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
But things like that, yes, if it offends somebody, it is important. It's important to change it, because we have to realize that when we offend people, it's more than offending these people. You know what I mean? There's a reason why they are offended. There's something that has happened. There's something that transpired. There's a reason why. It's not they're just offended to be offended, because nobody walks around. Well, there are some people, but nobody walks around. Nobody walks around just to be offended. You know what I mean? There's always a reason why. So I'm so glad that you listen to your followers. And that just is a testimony to who you are as a person.
Yeah, thank you. I do appreciate that. And I know like I don't need or like necessarily like deserve like a pat on the back for that, but I do appreciate it, because you know I want to be, obviously nobody's perfect, and I have a problem with like wanting to be that perfect person so bad, especially you know being viewed by so many people. I'm like, ah, but you know I rather just fuck up and learn from it and you know listen, because that's what you have to do. Too many people don't listen to other people. Too many people are so involved in their own space and their own head, when it's like, babe, your own head isn't the real world.
Like, right. And I do realize that there are some people who are accepting, and they are allies. And so they think because they have done all of this work to be allies and to be accepting, mm-hmm. they still don't have room to grow. You know what I mean? There are some people who are so close to the community that when they are called out, because they have done so much work to be allies and to be accepting, they don't want to hear that. So it is good when you still have an open ear. You know what I mean? You can't just say, well, I'm an ally. So, you know, there's people who are like, well, I have that one black friend, so I'm not racist. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, I donated to a bunch of fundraisers, so I don't appreciate you questioning what I said.
It's like, show me the receipt first. Let's see the receipt first before you put that one out there. Come on. But yeah, I mean, I just think as the experience of being a human being is just like growth. And like I said earlier, that like, you've changed bullshit. It's like, yes, I'm supposed to, babe. I'm sorry you didn't. And I'm sorry you're stuck in this, like, one-track mindset when, again, you're only focusing on what's going on in your own head, not what's going on around you.
Yeah, and there's this thing where people can get confused with their ego. And also, when you get older, too, people sometimes calcify. You know, and they don't realize that they're doing it. For instance, like RuPaul is a good example of that. You know, we all know what the troubles have been with RuPaul. And I always look at people of that age, or anyone over a certain age, who's not like sort of awash in the changing mores of the current times. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, especially pioneers, because pioneers had to sort of go through a certain thing that sometimes makes them very stubborn, very closed off to new input, because a lot of it is like, I don't need to hear from you. You know, when, not that that's good or right, but that's what happens. I think it's important for everyone as they get older to be aware of the fact that you're getting older, and sometimes you can go, what? In my day, we didn't have a problem with that. Well, that's not your day. You know what I mean? It's not
right.
Like, I'm sure you were happy about certain things in your day changing. So there's always new things to learn. And also, I always feel like if a group says we don't like this and you're not in that group, your obligation is to go, oh, okay, that fine.
Well, you know, they're always going to base exactly what they say and what they do that is problematic off of that one friend who belonged to that group who is okay with them doing that. And yeah. I have to remind people all the time, just because you know one trans person doesn't mean you know all trans people. Because I'm offended by certain things doesn't mean that they will be offended by certain things. Certain things don't offend me doesn't mean that it won't offend them. It's just best just to shut up sometimes.
Shut up.
Yes. Yeah. If the world could just, you know, for a minute to shut the fuck up when they should, we'd have so much more peace, I think. Seriously.
Yes, minding your business is a skill. It's a gift. It's something that everybody should learn. I think that we mind each other's business in places where we shouldn't be minding each other's business. And other times when we're in times of need, where it's really time to mind that person's business because they need help, we don't mind business then. Then we're minding our own business. We got our own shit. But when it has stuff to do, when it has nothing to do with actually helping that person, everybody has an opinion.
Right. When it's more judgment than reaching out, checking in.
Yes. Exactly.
I want to quote one of my favorite philosophers on TikTok. I want everything but your pity. And of course, that quote belongs to Jade. And how do you say your last name? Is it Jade Marie Eichelberger or is it Eichelberger?
It's Eichelberger, yes.
Ooh, Eichelberger. Okay, I like that. Yeah. So that quote comes from Jade Marie Eichelberger. I didn't say exactly what
it was. Yes. Babe, I'm going to write all of those quotes down after this. I'm living.
Thank you. Just make sure to put my little credit at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not me. It's you made them, baby. Not me.
But I think that's a really powerful statement.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody's pity. I think that's exactly what I was trying to say in my theatrical writing, if I can say that. My Professor Fields will probably kill me. I don't want pity from people. I want change. That's what I want. Just change. Just change. Not, ooh, woo, 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 oh, poor baby. No, because that doesn't do anything. I just want for you to be the change in any way that you can. And people are constantly asking me on TikTok, well, how can I be the change? Baby, there are so many websites. There are so many sources. You even got Wikipedia and people who think they're experts on Reddit. It's not that hard to do the research yourself. You have to want to change. You have to want to change. That's not my responsibility as a Black trans woman to boat everybody through and show them the light. If you really care, you'll do the research.
Right.
Yeah. And also pity, the person who's pitying, it's a sort of a dodge for them. It's a way to say, I see, I recognize their plight and I feel very bad for them. So therefore, I'm a good person.
Right.
Right. Like feeling bad for somebody doesn't do anything. Like you're just feeling bad for somebody and then you're going on to the next thing and then you're forgetting what you feel bad for. Like that's not change. It's not helping anything or anyone.
Right.
Right.
We can all cry at a movie, you know?
And there are some people who literally just feel bad for other people to make themselves feel better.
Well, because also then there's those other folks who like to do that and take it one step farther and broadcast how bad they feel for someone to highlight and show people. But that's where it ends.
Yeah.
You have quite an extensive wardrobe with some 70s flair to it. Now, as you can see from what I'm wearing, I'm quite fond of the 70s look as well. Any style icons in particular?
Well, every time I go shopping, I think about two people. I think about Diane Carroll. I love Diane Carroll. I loved Dynasty growing up. My great grandmother used to turn it up. She used to say, baby, go over there and play with the antenna a little bit because Dynasty is coming on. We used to have to straighten the TV screen out, darling, just to watch Miss Diane Carroll be such a boss. You know what I mean? Honestly, Diane Carroll is a trailblazer. I believe she was the first Black woman to own her own have her own sitcom. Mm-hmm. So I literally look up to her and love her as a fashionista, but also as an actress, as a woman of her craft. And the other person I think of is my Mimi. I loved her wardrobe in the 70s. Like she just was a fox. So every time I go shopping, I think about those two women, and I usually go to Goodwill. So, I mean, it's easy to find something for $5 that actually came from, what, circa 1975.
True.
I remember being at a huge thrift store in Florida, and it was as if someone had stolen wardrobe from Dynasty and Prince and the Revolution. It was wild.
Yeah, I heard y'all have really good thrift stores, like, out in the West and everywhere else but here.
But you're going to see a lot of those places. I very much see you in LA having a grand old time.
We'll see, y'all. We'll see. I have such a big heart, and I've heard such horror stories. I definitely will think about it if the opportunity comes for me to move or anything like that. That's exactly what I'm going to do, because I have too many people at this point in my life telling me that you are going to be so successful. You can be so successful. Just keep growing. Just keep growing. And I remember my sister said something to me. She was like, I want for you to know, if you were white, you probably would have like 2 million followers on TikTok. But that doesn't mean that you have to stop. Just keep pushing, keep pushing. Because she just really wants me to keep going, keep going. Because my sister really does believe in me. So I'm going to do just that. I'm going to keep pushing. I have realized my whole life that I know I will have to work a little bit harder. But yes, I want to continue to grow, and hopefully my TikToks continue to inspire people, or inspire people. I said conspire. well, we are conspiring against transphobia.
Yeah.
There you go. And conspiring to inspire. So.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to talk about that we didn't cover so far?
No, I always tell my TikTok live friends all the time, if nobody has told you that they loved you today, I wanted to let you know that I love you. And also, if you're not loving yourself, you're missing out on loving an amazing person, because whether or not people put you in the box of an amazing person, or they talk about you like you're this grand, great person, everybody has the capacity and the ability to be an amazing person, period. Mm-hmm. And for that person that I know you're able to be, whether you choose to be it or not, that's on you. I love you.
And I'd like to also note that all of us have had phone disruptions throughout the course of this. So I feel united in that and not so embarrassed, which is nice.
No, I'm not like as embarrassed anymore. I was like, oh no.
Well, we're also such a polite bunch. I think all of us at some point have been like, oh, no, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, nobody ever texts me. So the fact that I'm here now and everybody wants to text me, it's crazy.
I'll text you every day. I'll be like, hey, girl.
Hey, friend.
Hey, what's up?
Are you taping now? Can I make a noise while you're taping something else? Yeah, that kind of thing.
Can I annoy you right now?
We love to do that, by the way. So, also, we have a thing coming up called Bimbo Cinema Club, where we pick a movie and share it with folks and everything. Maybe you'd like to join us sometime for that. That'd be a lot of fun. And because I have a feeling you're really into movies. I'm into old movies. And when you're talking about Dynasty, listen, I just want to say this champagne is burned.
The champagne is burned.
I got the box set right over there. Dynasty, it's one of my favorite things.
Really?
Oh yeah. Hey, well, I'll go grab it because I can. Hold on.
Yeah. Also, pause. I need to get my charger for my laptop.
Okay.
It's about to die. I don't want to just leave so abruptly. Sorry.
Oh yes. No. Take your time. Take your time. It's a cute outfit, by the way, as always.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you look amazing.
Mm-hmm. I like how much pink is going on in today's show.
Yeah, I do love a good pink moment. Everything is happening at my apartment complex. People are cutting grass. School buses are backing up. It's just everything.
I'm so sorry. Can you hear me without the mic?
Hey.
Very faintly. Now I can hear you.
Oh. I know. Hello, everyone. Yeah. I'm just looking for my charger.
Oh, no, take your time. I didn't, you know, that's okay. Take your time. We good on time, Jade?
Yes, we're good on time.
This is so rude of me. I feel bad. So
sometimes
confused.
Your things just sprout legs and, you know, run.
Yeah.
They just do.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, that's okay. Listen, is your computer about to die? Because if it is, maybe
is weird because I was at 100.
Well, the power of this show will drain the battery of any device.
But I'm saying we're all just like so smart and pretty that like
that's what it is. Exactly.
Right?
Unanimous decision on that one. So maybe what we should do is, Jade, would you like to come back sometime? We'll talk some more.
Of course I'll come back. You've made me feel so comfortable and at home.
Oh, that means the world. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad. That makes me so happy.
You're welcome.
Jade, what's your Instagram?
My Instagram is Brown Baby Jade. All of them spelled the traditional way. Brown Baby and then Jade.
Beautiful. Yes. Perfect.
And speaking of which, you'll find that and all the links in our episode description. And I would like to thank Jade Marie Eichelberger for being Chrissy and Craig's very first guest.
Well, I feel so special.
Well, good.
You are.
Exactly. Exactly right. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It has been a lovely time. We look forward to the next one. And we love you.
Love you,
too. Thank you so much. So nice to meet you. You're an angel.
Ooh.